You're all very welcome on this damp and miserable morning, but I hope it will not be damp and miserable in here. I hope we will feel God's presence as we come to worship and praise Him. Just a few announcements. If anybody feels like they've got a talent for acting, and I know plenty of yous can act, Paddy would love to see yous. For getting yous all together for the drama. So if you see Paddy after the service, Paddy's up in the gallery there at the minute, but I'm sure he'll be down below or around about the welcome area at the end of the service. And if you see him, and just tell him what would be involved in that, he would love to have you on board. There's also sheets out in the festival and the welcome area for the ladies' lunch. If you feel like you would like to go to that, please put your name down on that. The session are also meeting after this morning service in the quiet room, just for a few moments, if they can note that down. Also, a couple of weeks' time, we're going for a walk down the Mourns. It's a great day out, and if you see Sandra, or if Sandra hasn't already got the hold of you, do please put your name down, because it is a great day out and it's good exercise. And if you don't really want to go for a long walk, there's other options too. You can stay at Harold's house, or you can maybe go for a wee shopping trip down into Newcastle or something like that. So there's other options, but please do come along and enjoy the fellowship and the fun and be a part of that. Tomorrow up in the Abbey, they're having a living history day. The church is doing a barbecue up there, and the barbecue will be at 2 p.m. If children are still off school, they're welcome to come along with their parents. Children in fancy dress, I believe, and it's from 1 to 5. It's a great day out, and there's free popcorn and drinks for the children even. So it's worthwhile bringing them along to that. So that's tomorrow, 1 to 5 up at the Abbey. So please make time and go along and see what's happening there. Also, next Saturday, Sunday, we're having our annual prayer event, 24 hours of prayer. There is a few people who have put their names down so that I know that there's somebody in the church at all times. But if you aren't a good sleeper, now you know what I'm going to ask you. I would like a few names down for during the night. If you feel that you would like to come down here, and it is a great time to come down here, actually, in the middle of the night. So it'd be great to have you down. And if you feel like that, see me at the end, okay? And if you feel that you can come along at any other time, just say to me, and I'll write your name down so I know that there's people here in the church during that time. But that's next Saturday, 10:30 a.m. on the Saturday morning to 10:30 a.m. on the Sunday morning. Feel welcome to come down. We're also having 12 hours of prayer down in Clockey as well, from 8 to 8 down in Clockey. So you're welcome to go either place and just come in and feel God's presence. There'll be music playing. There'll be different, maybe ones playing music at different times. There's DVDs you can listen to on Divine Healing Ministries on different things that you can, praying for those with cancer. God's answer to anxiety, depression and stress. The many channels of God's healing. And fixing our eyes on Jesus. All them DVDs, and there'll be more DVDs, will be available here. You can come and sit and listen to them. There'll be a CD player down here with earphones on it, and you can come and just sit and listen to them DVDs. And they really are worth listening to. And there's lots of prayer books and different prayer stations around the church where you can pray for each organization within the church. So please take time to come down. There's no emphasis on praying out loud. It's just a time for you to be here with God in His presence. So do please take that time and come down for 10, 15 minutes. But honestly, you'll never notice 2 hours going in. It really is a lovely time to be here. So I leave that with you, and I think that's all the announcements. I'll just start with some words from Psalm 65:1-4. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. Okay, let's just bow our heads and let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, let's come to worship you. God who is mystery, God who is certainly a wonderful God. Come, let's worship you. A God who wills dignity for every family, every person. A God who lies at the heart of each life and speaks in the depth of each heart. God, who is constant adventure, constant movement, constant presence, come, let's worship God today. Let's be filled with awe and wonder and that profound grace seen in Jesus the carpenter, the Holy Child. Christ is our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, alive, though crucified, seated on the throne of grace. Present with us now. Christ is our servant. Christ is our beloved. Dear Lord, we are your humble servants, and we kneel before you today, helpless and weak. We need your hope for love, kindness, and for a better life. Lord, we ask that you fill us from head to toe with your everlasting light. Bathe us in your glory, Lord, and show us that everything in according to your plan. Help us walk in your glorious light. And show us the path so that we may follow you in faith. O Lord, we stand before you, your humble servants, broken and in need of love. You are the God of hope and of all things good. And we pray that you lift everyone up in your arms today. Dear God, and give them the hope that they need. Lord, we thank you for the gift of forgiveness that you have given us. We thank you for your mercy that you showed us. And for sending your Son to die for us. Help us realize our anger and our frustration with life. Allow us to be a vessel of your divine forgiveness. And allow us to forgive. Just as you have forgiven our sins, we must extend that forgiveness to others. Lord, our loving God, whose ways are mysterious, and yet whose love is deep and tender, you provide for all our needs. Make yourselves known to us as we worship you now. Give us words to praise you, hearts to love you, and minds to know you. Help us to offer all to you and to know your mysterious presence with us as we gather in your name. Amen. We're going to open our Word of God now. Ephesians 4:17-30. 32, page 1175 in your pew Bibles. If you want to look that up or look it up on your phones or whatever way you want to look at it, but just make sure you look at it because it's very important that you look at the Word of God as we read it and decipher it and decipher the words in it. So it's Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. So I tell you this, and insist it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, of all rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every kind and form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Amen, and may God bless his word, and may he open it up to us later on. It comes to that time in our service when we get a chance to give back in our tithes and offerings. So we're going to do that now in giving off our collection.
Lord, we thank you for the words that accompany the tune that's being played. For you so loved this world that you gave your Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Lord, we bow before you, recognizing what you have given us, what Jesus did for us. He gave his all, his everything. Lord, what you require of us is minuscule in comparison. But Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We thank you for this opportunity to be involved in work that we can't physically do. And Lord, we pray that you would take this, our offering, and bless it abundantly more than we could ever hope or imagine. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I can just about say good morning. I can't on my watch, but I can on the clock. So that clock's telling me it's earlier, so I'm going to follow that one. Thank you to Norman for leading our service this morning up to this point. And we now come to the point where we pray for others. And There's been lots of nervousness over the last few weeks with A-levels and GCSEs, and I just heard this morning one of our A-level students was 0.2% below what she needed. But they got it remarked, and she got 4 extra marks. So she got the A that she required, and she can off to university next week. So we've been praying hard about that, and God has been faithful, and God has revealed His will and purposes. Let's come before Him now. I'll not be able to mention any names, but you know the folks that we're going to be praying for. So you add the names in where necessary. Let's come before God now in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for Your hand upon our young people. We thank You, Lord, that You created us with knowledge, with gifts, with abilities. You've created us all differently, with different gifts and abilities and passions. And we do thank You, Lord, that we have an education system that helps develop those natural abilities that You have given us. We thank You, Lord, from our youngest student to our teenagers and young adults, Lord, that we see that development in them as they home in and hone in on the parts that You have blessed them with, as they begin to be shaped and molded in the direction in which You want them to live as adults and work as adults. Just this week, Lord, we're so thankful for the GCSE results. We pray for all of our students who've received their results, Lord, and we do pray that their next step, Lord, they would know they're stepping in the direction that You want them to go, whether in A-levels or in a job or wherever You are taking them, Lord. May they know Your blessing. And for our A-level students, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have heard this good news. And for all of our other students, Lord, for their results, for what it means to them, we just pray Your blessing on them. And for, Lord, A-level students who are now heading off to university, leaving home perhaps for the first time, we just ask that You would go with them, that they would know that You're going with them. Be with the parents, Lord, who are seeing maybe the first child or another child or maybe the last one, the youngest one, the baby of the family, moving out of home and beginning to go into this great big world. A world, Lord, that has been described by every generation as a world that is just getting more and more difficult to live in. But even though the world changes, Lord, You remain the same. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that we can go anywhere when You are with us and You are leading us, living according to Your purposes. So we do pray, Lord, for our older children this morning. And we also pray, too, for our younger children, some who are going to school for the first time, for those who are moving between classrooms or teachers, those who are moving from primary school to secondary school. Lord, we just pray that Your hand would be upon them and bless them. Be with all of the teachers as well, Lord, as they have already begun to prepare the new year, the new lesson plans, the new learning outcomes. Lord, we just pray that You would be with our local schools and our local head teachers and teachers, especially our head teachers, Lord, as they continue to provide education on a budget, on a limited budget, Lord, that is difficult for them to balance. So just bless them as well. We know, Lord, that You are shaping and molding each of us. And Lord, many of us here remember our school days and how we became interested in one topic and not another. And we have witnessed that journey of becoming the people that You want us to be, working in the areas that You want us to work in. But we know, Lord, it's not just about gaining knowledge about subjects and gaining a workplace. We know too, Lord, it's about gaining knowledge of You. So we pray, Lord, for all of our ministries that seek to do that. Creche and K4C here on a Sunday, Regen on a Sunday morning and evening. We pray for the Boys Brigade, the Girls Brigade. We pray for Fusion and all of their efforts, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, in making those first connections with young people, to teaching young people and children about God. And Lord, all of that work, for all of those leaders and volunteers, Lord, we give You thanks and we pray that You are preparing them for a season of blessing. It will be a challenging season, Lord, as we know serving You is a challenge. But we pray, Lord, many blessings as we teach our young children the way that they should go. And Lord, we trust that as they grow old, they would not indeed depart from it. Lord, as we meet to worship You, we just thank You for our church family, for the community You've placed us in. And Lord, as we go out into the community, we pray that we would know that You are with us always. And Lord, we pray that in all of our activity, that you would be equipping us to go out and make Jesus known to the world around us. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We are finishing today our little series on seeing, hearing, and speaking no evil. I want to just remind you that the Hearing No Evil sermon is online. So we had the Holiday Bible Club service there that day. But if you wanted to go back in any of the sermons, any of the services, please use that facility online to listen to sermons again. I'm sure you would watch a program more than once, or watch a movie more than once, or maybe read a book more than once. It's all right to listen to a sermon more than once. Today we are focusing on the last piece of the three-piece puzzle, speaking no evil. I am on. There we go, we're working. Did I do that or did you do that, Glenn? I did it. Me. Okay. Speaking no evil. And whenever I started to work this sermon out, it doesn't always... Normally the beginning comes to me first, but this time this beginning came to me towards the middle or near the end, actually. And this little phrase came to my mind. And I am sure that everyone in this room has been in a context where you've heard that said. Maybe the context was you've had it said to you by a granny or a parent. Or maybe you're the granny or the granda who has said that to someone. But I'm sure we've all been in a context where we have heard this. I mean, this is, after all, the wisdom of Thumper's daddy. And all the people who are laughing are those who have seen Bambi. Those who are not laughing have never seen Bambi and do not know what I'm talking about. It's a lovely sentiment. And it's true in a sense. But if we were to apply this sentiment to our lives, it would limit us from sharing the gospel with people. Because you see, it's not nice telling someone that without Christ, they're heading for a lost eternity. Now, there's a nice way of saying that, of course. There's a way of saying that in love. But it's not nice. It's not nice news. It's not good news. But see, that's why the gospel is good news. You couldn't have good news if there was no bad news. It would all just be news. But it's not just telling people about heaven and hell that's sharing the gospel. The gospel is a much bigger enterprise than that. Because there are many other conversations that feed in to the opportunities for us to share the gospel. But then there's also conversations that take away from the gospel. There are types of conversations that affect our gospel testimony. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians here, he's reminding the church of who they are in Christ. He's telling them they're united in Christ, unity in the body of Christ. Then he goes on to tell the Ephesian church what that should look like in everyday life. What does it look like to live for Christ every day? In our lives, in our interactions, and in this passage, in our conversations. So let's open up our Bibles. Let's open up Ephesians chapter 4 to see what we can learn today about how we can go out into the world to speak no evil. And in this passage, verses 17 to 24, Paul is telling us that there are two types of people. There are people who are conformed and people who are transformed. But the first type of person are people who are conformed, verses 17 to 19. Verse 17, he says, the Gentiles, we should no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Now, when he says the word Gentiles here in that context, when he was writing to Ephesians, he is simply talking about people who are not Jews. People who are not part of the Israelite nation, they are the Gentiles. The Jews and the Israelites, they are the chosen people. And the Gentiles are not the chosen people. But we know in the New Testament context, in today's context, people who believe in Jesus Christ are the chosen people. People belonging to Christ. Christians. So whenever we say Gentiles today, it is those people who are not Christians. People who are living a futile life. This word futile means nonsense, emptiness, purposelessness, hopelessness. People who are living a Christless life. That's what he says in verse 18. They are separated from the life of God. Separated from the life of God. People living in futility, separated from the life of God. These people are everywhere. They're all around us. And some of those people will be in this room today. There are some in this room who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And the next few things that we're going to say here, we're not saying them to make you feel bad. They're not nice. But we're saying them because they're the truth. Verses 18 and 19. These people are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Dark, ignorant, and numb. But if you're here this morning and you're one of these people, you're maybe saying, well, I can see. I can see the bad weather. I can see when the sun shines. I do know stuff. I might have just got my GCSEs, or I might just have got good results in my A-levels, or I have a good job. I have been educated. I have knowledge. And I do feel, I know what it feels to be happy, and I know what it feels to be sad, and everything in between. And that is true. But what you feel and know and see are only a faint shadow of what it means to truly see, to truly know, and to truly feel. What you see is just a worldly picture. It's distorted. Distorted by lies and fake news. It's a temporary world full of temporary pleasures. A life separated from God is a life consumed by futility. A life consumed by seeing and hearing evil. And in verse 19 it says, with a continual lust for more. Now that might make us think of someone, some worldly wild child who's just out rampaging around looking for cheap thrills all over the place. But that's not the picture. Anyone living a futile life has a continual lust for more. Ordinary people. There are two of these ordinary people in the Bible. We don't know their names. We just pick up a part of their story as they were walking towards Emmaus. And on that road, they're dragging their heels and they're kicking the dust and they're wondering what's going on. Because these were the people, these two people, were in Jerusalem. They would have seen Jesus coming in. They maybe put their coats on the ground, or they were the ones taking the palm branches down. All that joy and all that celebration because this man's coming in on a donkey. He could be the Savior. He could be the new king. And then their feelings changed because that king was crucified, and that would have made them sad. And then their feelings were feelings of confusion because they're now dragging themselves along the road because somebody has told them that this Jesus is now alive, but they can't get their heads around it. Because you see, they're stuck looking at all of those things from a worldly perspective. But on the road, Jesus joins them and begins to explain to them from the scriptures who he is. And one of my favorite verses, Luke 24, verse 31, then their eyes were opened. And then they could see past the shadow of what they could see and feel and know. They saw the spiritual realities of what Jesus was doing and what he did, the purpose for the cross. They now began to know the meaning of the resurrection. Because you see, the two who were walking on the Emmaus Road, they were followers of Jesus, yes. They might have went to a Brave Weena church services, but they did not know Jesus Christ personally. But when their eyes were opened, they were connected to Jesus. Maybe you entered this building today in the futility of a meaningless, purposeless, Christless life. But is today the day that you will come to know Jesus Christ personally? Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Is today the day that you would know that he hung on the cross for you. That when he rose from the grave, conquering death, that you can have a share in eternal life because he did that for you. Is this the day that you would know Jesus Christ personally? But maybe you're sitting here in another church service and you're sitting looking around you, but really, your hands are over your eyes like one of the wee monkeys, and your hands are over the ears like one of the other wee monkeys. But it's not so that you don't see no evil or hear no evil. It's because you don't want to see or hear the gospel. Maybe you're turning away from Jesus again and again. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Become transformed. Like all the folks in here who have come to know Jesus through the gospel truth. Verse 21. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That is the gospel we proclaim. It's a gospel truth that Paul says in verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and true holiness. Putting off the old self, that former way of life, turning from those times when you're seeing and hearing evil, turning, fleeing from that as a transformed person, putting on that new self, going out into the world with true righteousness, true holiness, so that you can actively deal with and turn away with from the evil that you see and hear in the world around you. Paul uses this same vocabulary, only slightly differently, this same meaning slightly differently in Romans chapter 12. And this is one of the coolest slides that I've ever put on the screen, I think. Transformers, one of our favorite movies to go and watch. That's the head, or that's the figure of the Autobots. They're the good guys. The Decepticons, you would know Decepticons, they're the bad guys. But they've modified this and put a cross in the middle of it. This could become my new screensaver on my computer. Transformed. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul writing this uses two Greek verbs. One is we say is conform, and the other one is transform. So do not conform. It's a verb, it's a doing word. Do not conform. Do not, or be transformed, sorry. Both of these are imperatives. We know the Greek verb imperative. It means do not conform, but be transformed. That's why he writes at the beginning of the passage, I tell you this and insist on it. But it's not just Paul insisting, is it? I didn't finish the verse. I insist on it in the Lord. This is God who insists that we do not conform, but be transformed. Do not be conformed to the futile pattern of this world, folks. Be transformed by Christ. Live in true light. Live in true knowledge. Live in the true love of God. And then have the assurance that you will dwell with him for all eternity. But when we are transformed, there is a responsibility to live a certain way. And that certain way is to be continuously reformed. Now, we're not saying that you have to be saved every day. You are transformed once. Your eyes are opened. You are saved. You make that transformation. You're no longer conformed to the pattern of the world. You are transformed, beginning the process of being in the likeness of Jesus Christ. But that's what we mean by being continually reformed. Made more like Jesus every day of the week. And in doing this, in verse 25, Paul writes, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truth. Put off lies and speak truthfully. It's a repetition. Put off the old and put on the new. Get rid of lies, put on the truth. Some of your versions of the Bible might actually have their putting off falsehood. So putting gives us a sense there's something continuous going on there. It's the same in chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit. Being filled as a continuous tense. Be filled and be continually filled. Continually plugged in to the Holy Spirit. Be recharged by the Holy Spirit. Continually fill yourself with Holy Spirit fuel so that you can go out and do what God wants you to do. I'm sure you've heard somebody saying, oh, there's your man. He's a reformed character. That doesn't mean he's a Presbyterian or a Methodist. His theology is reformed. He used to be a bit of a header, but now he's a bit more sensible. Your minister used to be one of those people. And is in great need to be continually reformed. But a reformed character is someone who used to act in a certain way, but now they're acting in a better way. We are, as Christians, to be reformed every day, getting more and more like Jesus, continually putting off all this old stuff, this old way of life, putting on this new stuff. Because if we don't be involved in this process, we will grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you have been sealed. We are sealed, we have received the Holy Spirit, but we're not to grieve him by just being the same and staying the same. You're becoming more like Jesus Christ. And in the next few verses, Paul goes into some ways how we can do that. He talks about getting rid of anger and not giving the devil a foothold. And he talks about we shouldn't steal but work hard and share. And those are good things. But those are not the things that we want to talk about today. Today we're going to look at verses 25, 29, and 31, concentrating on the verbal part of what Paul is saying. So verse 25, you must put off falsehood, put off lies, and speak truthfully. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building others up. And then verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger. Brawling, slander along with every form of malice. No slander. Jump over into chapter 5 and verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So the old things that should be out of our lives, falsehood, lies, unwholesome talk, slander, obscenity, foolishness, and coarse joking. What should be in the new that we are putting on is truthfulness, helpfulness, things that will build people up, and words that give thanks to God. See, being a transformed, continually reformed follower of Jesus Christ is not simply just about going out and saying nice things and telling people the gospel. Yes, it is about that. But equally, it has to be about cutting the other stuff out, coming away from all of that stuff, getting rid of the old self. And there's a very good reason for this. I'm sure, I'm positive that you will all be able to, you didn't all get the Transformers, you didn't all get Bambi, but I'm pretty sure you'll all get this. You hear someone, you know someone at work, they're talking about the Bible, and they're talking about Jesus, and they're talking about how you should live your life. And then you hear them later on backstabbing somebody, or gossiping, or being involved in telling dirty jokes. Have you ever met a person like that? I'm sure you can imagine that type of character. What does that tell you about that person? What does that say about that person who is proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ? Proclaiming to be a follower of the Savior of the world. Now let's take the picture out a little bit more. Oh, there's your man there. I see him every Sunday there scooting across at the wee roundabout in Grey Abbey. Into church with his Bible in his hand. And then I hear him on the building site on a Monday. Or I hear her in the ladies' toilets in the office on a Monday. You see, what we do as individuals reflects on us, but it also reflects on our fellowship. Should be unity in the body of Christ. Remember, you are not a lone ranger in your walk with the Lord. But then let's go one more. What does that say about Jesus Christ? As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to reflect Jesus Christ. So if we're not getting rid of all of this old stuff and putting on all of this new stuff, what does that say about the process that we're in? We reveal Jesus. We are the Jesus that people see. followers of Jesus Christ, we should be careful to speak no evil. Proverbs 6 says this. Now, we're living in days when lots of people are waxing lyrical about the love of God. There are lots of experts in the love of God in the news and on the television. Oh, God is love. So that means we can do anything then. Not if you read Proverbs. Because there are 6 things listed in Proverbs that God hates. God is not a God of hate, but he hates sin. And one of those things is a lying tongue. God hates it. Proverbs is a good place to go if you wanted to study a little bit more about what our tongue should be saying and not saying. But James then says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. One wrong word can undo weeks or months or years of a testimony, of a relationship building process. Peter says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful words. He must turn from evil and do good. See, turn from evil. Put off the old. Do good. Put on the new. He must speak peace and pursue it. The importance of this is because being careful to speak no evil builds trust so that we can go and speak the gospel into people's lives. Verse 29 says that we should build others up so that it may benefit those who listen. Unbelievers are watching everything that you do as a believer, and they're listening to everything that you say. You cannot say, I'm not going to be a witness for Christ. The fact is this, you're either a good witness or a poor witness. Unbelievers are watching how we interact with each other, how we talk about each other. They are watching intensely and listening intensely to our conversations between ourselves and unbelievers. And especially when those people are not in the room. What we're saying about other people. And how we do this has a great impact. If we do this well, if we live in the world and see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil, we will build confidence between ourselves and unbelievers. People living in a futile life. They will come and ask us for help in times of trouble, and in so doing, we will build trust. Trust that will mean that we will have opportunities to share the gospel with them. Chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Transformed, reforming followers of Jesus Christ, what opportunities are you going to make the most of today? Are there opportunities that you're going to make the most of today? What about tomorrow? Next week? The week after? What remains of this month? Next month? This year? Next year? What opportunities, what gospel opportunities are you going to make the most of from this point on, until the day your time here on earth is up or when Jesus Christ returns? Because that's what God wants us to be doing, making the most of the gospel opportunities. Doing it as individuals, doing it collectively as a congregation, as part of the body of the Church of Christ. We should have a determination to see no evil, to hear no evil, and to speak no evil. And if Satan is already saying to you, sure, what use are you? What gifts have you got? What way has God developed you? You're no use. Here is what God says. This is what Paul writes to that church in Ephesus. Right at the very start, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God has given us everything we need to live a life seeing, hearing, and speaking no evil, folks. And when we do that, there will be opportunities for lost people living in a futile life to hear about a Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've revealed to us the world is futile. But we, Lord, have purpose. We, Lord, have hope. We have help. Lord, thank you that we have Christ in our lives. We thank you for the promise, surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. So, Lord, may we be filled with your Spirit's power and energy, leading and guiding, Lord, to go into this fallen, broken, messed up world. Draw alongside those who need to hear about Jesus and see Jesus. Lord, may that be our purpose this day and forevermore. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit drive us, lead us, empower us, equip us to go into a world for our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.